Jesus has challenging words to say to us today. And we're in Matthew chapter 6, part of his Sermon on the Mount. And they were just as challenging back when he said them the first time, back to the people who heard them. They're challenging to us because we're used to worrying about food and money and clothing. What else do you think about? You know, maybe the house, but money is, in a certain way in America, it's kind of our national addiction. It's a big deal for us. We're always worried about money. Maybe you heard about the Gilded Age in the 1800s. People were making money hand over fist and spending it too. Or the Roaring Twenties. Or the 80s, where everyone seemed to be making money in the stock market. Or the gold rush, you know. Someone discovered gold in California. Well, who cares? That's California. We're here. No, that's not America. If there's gold in California, we're hitching up the wagon and we're going. We're going to pan for gold. We're going to get rich. We're going to strike it rich. That's part of one of our national dreams, is to strike it rich. You know, when I was young, I thought maybe one day I'd invent something and patent it, and then I'd be a millionaire. All the rage right now seems to be to invent an app on the iPhone that everybody wants. And that's how you're going to make your millions. You know, money is kind of our national addiction. And many people have spent their entire working life chasing money from one state to the next or from one place to the next. And I hope you can say, well, that wasn't me. I was never that worried about money. Or maybe you can say, that used to be me, but I realized, you know, it's not as important as I thought. That's great. But you know, there's another way that money kind of sneaks around and gets us from behind. Maybe we're not worried too much about how much money we earn, but we all want to save money, don't we? And that kind of gets us, as we're all focused on saving money, you know? Save big money at Menards, right? Well, we're listening because we all want to save money. My little brother, he didn't quite understand this. He didn't quite get the ad. He said, I love that ad, save big bunnies at Menards. No, William, it's money, you know? We all want to save money. We'll do whatever we can to save a few bucks, because hey, $5 is $5, right? You go out shopping and they got something there, but it's $34 and you think, I could do better. So you go online and you find it for $29.95. Yes! I saved money! Then you go to checkout and it's $8 for shipping. Oh. But hey, they're offering free shipping on any order over $40, right? So you go back and you look around a little more and you add something else to your cart and you're at $32.95. You add something else and you're at $44.95. Yes! I got the free shipping. Well, you spent $44. Well, but we save money, right? We're saving money. Why is Black Friday the biggest shopping day of the year? Because they're offering the biggest sales that day. But it's a game, you know? It's a game the store plays and we play with the store. They offer bigger sales, we come in, you know, or we don't. We're playing this game. Can we get it at a better price? Can we get it at a better deal? Sooner or later it's going to be on sale, we'll get it on sale. But we end up kind of following the money around. You know, wherever you can save money, that's where we're going. We end up being hitched to that wagon one way or another. And what Jesus is saying in the gospel is, stop playing that game. Stop worrying so much about money. You know, worrying about how much you're spending or how much you're saving. Yeah, we need to watch what we're spending, but often you save more money if you didn't go to the store at all. You know? So there's a certain wisdom that we need to have. Look, if it's worth it, if you really need it, who cares if it's a dollar more? Just get it. Go home and be happy with what you got. Or if you don't really need it, then don't get it at all, even though it's on sale, you know? 20% off, 30% off. Ooh, I didn't think I wasn't going to buy one of those, but if it's 30% off, you know, come home with a boot dryer or something. Hey, look what I got. What are you going to do with that? It was 30% off. I saved so much money. You know, we shouldn't. Don't play the game. Don't play the game. That's what Jesus is saying. And it's never as good as we think it's going to be. Because part of the game is every year we come out with something better, right? And it was great for a year, but now they got the new model. And it's just supposed to be better and lighter and faster and smarter and all that. And shinier. On Tuesday, I went out snowmobiling. It was my first time out. It was lots of fun. Didn't kill myself or anyone else involved in the group, so yay! It was lots of fun. And I think we had three snowmobiles from like three different generations, because the one guy had like kind of a purple paint job on his. It sure looked like the 80s. And he had the vinyl seat that's all kind of chewed up around the corner. It looks like somebody's been chewing on it because it split. And then the next guy had a few years later. And then I had the one that had the reverse gear on it and the electric start, pretty slick. And you know what? We all had fun. We all had fun, and you wouldn't really know the difference one way or another. When I got back from snowmobiling, I mentioned I'd been out with some friends, and April Schreiber at Wabino told me that her husband Lonnie, his first snowmobile was a 1961 Skidoo. It had a 10-horse engine in it. I'm sure it made a big, giant cloud of blue smoke, probably some outrageous noise when you drove it around. But you know what? He had fun on that thing. And it hasn't changed all that much since then. You still got two skis in the front, you still got a track in the back. And every year they come out with a new model that's supposed to be so much better than last year. It's not really that much different, you know? When I was young, when I was little, 5, 6 years old, 7 years old, I was watching football with my dad. And I learned all sorts of stuff watching football. But one of the things I learned, and I wasn't even old enough to shave yet, but they taught me that Gillette was the best a man can get. And the very peak of shaving technology was a two-blade razor called the Gillette Sensor XL. And they had these little diagrams and stuff, so these animations that would show how the blades were spring-loaded, so they would follow the curve of your face. Well, by the time I was shaving, that was already on its way out. They were introducing the Gillette Mach 3 that had not two blades, three blades for the closest, most comfortable shave ever, right? Well, then they came out with the Mach 3 Turbo, and then it was the Fusion. And now if you watch football, what are they advertising? The Gillette Fusion Pro Glide. Can you imagine the kind of shave you're going to get today? I don't know, 4, 5, 6 blades? The funny thing is, it's exactly the same picture. It's the same chiseled athletic guy with no hair on his face. Were we getting that shave back in 1986? Really? Like, have we gotten that far? You know, the latest trend is shaving with one blade. That's the latest thing. People are getting an old safety razor and a pack of blades, you know, 5 for $1. Apparently, you can still shave with one blade. It still works. We're not getting that far, you know? We're not getting as far as we think. And what the gospel challenges us to is, don't play that game. Don't ride along on that train. It's not going to be as good as you think. Don't worry about, you know, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to ride on or how you're going to shave. It's not a big deal. What is a big deal is the kingdom of God. And that's where our focus should be. That's where our best energy should be. We shouldn't be driving around town to save $2, you know, but we should be focusing our day on what's important for the kingdom of God. The thing with money, Jesus says in the gospel, you cannot serve God and mammon. You all know what mammon is, right? It's moolah. It's money. You can't serve God and money. So stop serving money. And the truth is that money is a mean master. It's never enough. If you're trying to earn money, it's never enough. Because there's always another bonus, there's always a bigger paycheck, there's always somebody who's earning more, you know, there's always a business that's doing better. It's never enough. And the same with saving money. You know, the more you save, the more you want to save. 20% off was pretty good, but let's see if we can get 30% off at the end of the season. 40% off, discount rack, 90% off, you know, just keep... It's never enough. So what Jesus challenges us in the gospel is don't fall into that trap. Don't play that game. One master is worth serving, and that's God. We should serve God. And everything else, it matters, but it doesn't matter as much as we think. Serve God first of all, and let everything else find its own place.